This is The Record on KUOW. Local travel writer, radio host, and TV host Rick Steves is perhaps best known for traveling through Europe. His public television show, Travels Through Europe, has been on TV for over two decades. But this Sunday in his TV show, he shows us a different part of the world, Israel and Palestine. He went to the holy cities of Jerusalem and Bethlehem, but he also ventured off the beaten path and visited Palestinian refugee camps and Israeli settlements in the West Bank. Rick said he wanted to take people to places where they could better understand the context of the problems people face in the Holy Land.
I went as just a curious traveler and a TV producer and so on, but anybody can go to these places, and I was surprised how accessible they were, how fun it was, and how much I learned. And as travelers, we can go there and talk to people and hear both narratives.
How welcoming were the Palestinians in the refugee camps, and did you get many questions being an American about U.S. policy, which many Palestinians feel favors Israel over them?
I found in the West Bank, everybody just wanted to wave their flag because they can wave one now and say, welcome to Palestine. You know, it's the United Nations just a year or two ago said Palestine is, they gave it kind of some kind of state status. And this is exciting news for Palestinians who really want to have a state. A lot of people are well-educated. They're very savvy politically, and they want to talk, and they enjoy talking with Americans. Nobody held me responsible for their frustration with our government, which I was thankful for. I went into the refugee camp and clowning around with the kids, went into a cyber cafe. All these kids are playing on their games there, and I thought I'd practice my Arabic with them, and hello, hello, how are you? What's your name? And one little kid turned around and said very clearly, F you, rich man. Or he spelled out, he said the whole world, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, boy, this kid is a little more politically savvy than I gave these 10 and 12-year-olds credit for.
Was there a welcoming attitude among the Palestinians, or was it more of the FU variety?
No, the FU variety was a frustrated kid, and I would hate to be a parent over there where these kids just don't have any places to hang out except go out to the road and throw rocks at the Israeli guardhouse, you know. It's such a poor and hard-scrabble community. Remember, there's a tenfold difference in per capita incomes. A Palestinian average annual income is $3,000, and an Israeli average income is $30,000 or something like that. But I felt warmly received, and I went all over the West Bank. I went to Nablus, which is a hotbed of what Israelis and a lot of people would call terrorists, and Hebron. Hebron is a very tense place because it has the tomb of Abraham.
Yes, tell us a little bit about the tomb of Abraham. This is an interesting part of the story you tell. What is it, first of all?
Yeah, the tomb of Abraham is amazing. Remember, this goes back to 1900 BC, and this is the patriarch, the original great-great-granddaddy of the Arab people and the Israeli people, and very sacred for Jews and for Muslims. And there's this old tomb with an ancient crusader church around it, which is now functioning split as a mosque and a synagogue. And in the center of it is the tomb of Abraham, the patriarch, 1900 BC, and around that is bulletproof glass. On one side, you've got a mosque, and on the other side of the bulletproof glass, you've got a synagogue. And the bulletproof glass is there is because a couple decades ago, a Jewish settler came in there with a gun during a Ramadan prayer service and killed 20 or 30 Muslims while they were praying. It's got a bloody history, and the town has several hundred Israeli settlers and probably much more than that Israeli soldiers guarding their community. And it's just a powerful experience to wander through the town. It's a beautiful experience, I got to say, to talk to people there. And it was just a very poignant experience to feel the tension between the settlement and the the Muslim people or the Arab people there, and then to go to that most holy place for the Jews and the Muslims.
When you came away from this experience, did it change your attitude about the big political struggles we always hear about in the region?
Well, I went there not looking to bring home answers because I think it's too complicated. There's no easy answer. But what I'm concerned about is the typical American, and we're all stakeholders in this. We pay a lot of money into the status quo in the Middle East here, and I think we deserve to know a little more about it than most of us do. And if all you know about is what you hear on commercial news, you don't know anything about it. I mean, that's just hysterical kind of stuff. You got to go there or take the initiative to get non-commercial news and information about it. I think what I wanted to do was not to give answers, but to give a context. And my sadness as a tour promoter, you know, and a travel guidebook writer and all, just an enthusiast about traveling, is so many Americans go to the, quote, Holy Land, and they go to Israel, and they make one strategic dash from Jerusalem into Bethlehem to go to Nativity Square and see the church where Jesus was believed to be born. And then they get back on their bus and get back into Jerusalem and then say a prayer of thanks that they didn't get hurt, you know. And the irony is, once you get settled into the West Bank a little bit, you realize that's where it's at in so many ways. And it balances your experience. When you go to the Holy Land, I think it's important to enjoy Israel and then, you know, spend a little time in the West Bank. Spend a little more money to stay in a nice hotel so you feel comfortable and have a local guide. But there's nothing really dangerous or risky or problematic about a typical curious American traveler going into the West Bank. Some of my loved ones said, oh, you're going into Palestine. Do you think that's safe? And I would tell them, well, as long as I'm not flying through Chicago, I think I'll be okay.
Would you recommend that people try to do this independently, not hire a guide and just go into the Palestinian areas?
No, I would recommend to hire a guide.
Yeah.
There's guidebooks. I use the Lonely Planet book, which is an excellent book on the West Bank. And if you're a good traveler, you know, if you can handle traveling through Turkey and India and that sort of thing and Morocco, well, you could travel in the West Bank and thousands of people do it. The funny thing is a lot of Americans, you know, because of our media, we don't think it's okay to travel there. We don't think it's okay to travel in Cuba and a lot of different places. But the fact is, a lot of people from other countries go there routinely. I think while you could reasonably go there on your own, I would splurge for a local guide just because the Palestinian people are so beautiful and the guides are so hardworking. They're so affordable. And you're helping them out by hiring them. They're just independent, you know, workers. And then you get to meet people and you know what's going on. And we did so many beautiful, amazing things because we had a local guide. I mean, it was just fun walking through the refugee camp and making friends with a little kid who was being sent out by his mom to get a chicken for dinner and follow him down to the guy who's got these cages of chickens. And the little boy picks out a live chicken and you watch the chicken slaughtered the proper way for their culture and their religion, and then the chicken's drained and put into the little centrifuge and flop, 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 and the guy pulls the chicken out and it looks like one of those rubber chickens that we use for little jokes, and the kid puts it in a plastic bag. He gives the guy, you know, the equivalent of a dollar or two, and he goes home with dinner. You know, that's just a beautiful little moment that you can have, and you can talk to the people and you can understand what's going on, and these are rich moments that any traveler can have, and we had 2 weeks of rich moments, and our challenge was to distill these all into a one-hour TV show.
And Rick Steves' hour-long special, The Holy Land, airs Sunday night at 7 o'clock on KCTS 9. This is The Record on KUOW.